Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Yeah! Welcome to another installment of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, and this is the final episode of 2023. And let me say, it's been an incredibly awesome year coming back to do Left of Lansing. And you know what I love the most is I've got to rekindle some friendships from the past and then also talk with many others for the first time. And while Phoebe and Joey from Friends might or somewhat have a point that perhaps there's no such thing as a completely unselfish act, in that, yes, I do have fun putting this weekly podcast together, and yes, I have fun voicing my opinions. I do this, though, to help not only spread the progressive message throughout the state of Michigan, but I do it so we progressives know there are many of us living in the state who share the same values of fairness, compassion, and common sense. I do this to help bring all of us together as a community and maybe just to maybe reach out to those who may not be on our side so that way they can at least hear what we've got to say, because perhaps we can someday win their hearts and minds to leave behind the turmoil and the dumpster fire that is the reactionary right-wing authoritarian Michigan Republican Party. Coming up here in a few, I'm going to talk with Livingston County progressive activist Casey Helton. She was on here back in the spring to share with us some of her trials and tribulations of being a progressive in that Republican stronghold of a county. But despite all those tribulations, Casey has kept fighting for the progressive values that she and thousands of others in Livingston County hold, and due in part because of her work and the work of many other activists, including the Livingston County Democratic Party. Republicans are beginning to lose that grip as progressive values are becoming more and more popular in that county. And with some of those wins in Livingston County, we can see how progressives are starting to connect with people in rural areas. Earlier this year, I spoke with progressive Democratic State Representative Betsy Kafia, who won her race up in the northwest portion of the Lower Peninsula. Kafia wants a new deal, as she calls it, for her constituents and for all of Michigan. And she's doing it by communicating and demonstrating how progressives are the ones offering real solutions for hard-working Michigan families. Last week, I spoke with progressive Democratic State Representative Emily Diebendorf, whose district is north of Lansing and who represents many farmers. And Representative Diebendorf reiterated to me what other bold progressives throughout the state advocate for day in and day out, to reach out and to communicate to as many people as possible. Don't just stick with those you know will back you. Try to move that Overton window back to the progressive side by not only explaining our positions, but showing how our positions help everyone for the common good. I always say here on this podcast, take the battle to them, because I was always tired. And trust me, working in right-wing talk radio, I know how Democrats and progressives were for years always playing defense. I wanted to change that script. I wanted to flip that script in my time in radio. And now as my time as a podcaster, I want us taking the battle to them. I want us staying on offense. And how do we do that? Well, hey, you know what? For example, Democrats passed free breakfast and lunch for all public school students this year. Sure, there were some right-wing cranks who opposed the measure because of, well, I'm not sure exactly why they opposed it other than to be cruel. But now, there are even some Republicans in the state legislature who may join Democrats in voting to ensure that free breakfast and lunches at schools becomes a permanent fixture in our education system. Why? Because it works just as we always envisioned it would work. And even on the issue of abortion, which is obviously a contentious one across the country, a majority of Michiganders don't believe we should set up roadblocks or levy outright bans on abortion care for women. Even people who may never consider getting an abortion if they become pregnant, even those people don't want to prevent other women from having that option because they believe in the right to privacy, women's health, and most of all, freedom. Which is why this was yet another big step for the state of Michigan this week. That was Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer after signing legislation this week repealing some of those cruel roadblocks that Michigan...
I decided to share the story that I had been raped when I was in college. I'd never talked about it publicly. I'd only shared it with a few partners over the years. I think that was when I knew it mattered what I said, even though it didn't change a vote, and that I had to stay in this fight because this wasn't about me. This was about a problem in this state, in our country. And here we are 10 years later, and I'm the one who's going to sign the repeal of that law. It's kind of a stunning full circle moment where it does reinforce that these fights are worth having.
Republicans passed through the years to punish women seeking abortion care. And Whitmer signed those bills on the 10th anniversary of when she spoke on the state Senate floor, announcing her opposition to a Republican bill which forced women to purchase rape insurance. You see, Republicans passed a bill preventing health insurance companies from providing coverage to women who got pregnant as the result of being raped. And so women had to then purchase a separate insurance rider, thereby costing them more money out of their pockets. 10 years ago, when she was the Senate Minority Leader, Gretchen Whitmer tried to put a face to the harm those Republican bills would do to all women. Whitmer shared the horrific story of when she was sexually assaulted while in college, and even though she didn't get pregnant, that would not be the case for other women who suffered the same fate. But that didn't sway Republicans. No, it didn't. Not at the time, as they voted against all women by forcing them to buy rape insurance. Thankfully, those days are over after the signing of these bills, which were part of the Reproductive Health Act that Democrats passed into law. Now, these bills repeal restrictions on health insurance coverage and also repeals a state health department requirement which prioritizes funding for family planning services to entities that don't provide abortion care. Thank you. That is common sense. And let me quickly congratulate progressive Democratic state representative and friend of this podcast, Representative Lori Pohitsky, for helping push this bill across the finish line as well. Representative Pohitsky was also raped and had a pregnancy scare afterwards. Now, thanks to these bills, women in Michigan don't have to spend more to guard against getting pregnant as a result of getting raped. And remember, please don't ever forget this. Republicans also want to ensure that abusers, like domestic abusers, get to keep their guns at all times. So the next time you hear right-wing Republicans spew their hatred over transgender people playing in women's sports because they supposedly really, really, really care about women, just remember how they want women to relinquish their individual liberty and to live and obey by the full power of the state government when it comes to abortion bans. Just remember how they didn't care about then-Senator Whitmer's harrowing tale of being sexually assaulted. Just remember how Texas wanted to put a woman's life in danger in favor of an unviable fetus. They valued the fetus over the woman, which is what we've always been trying to tell the country for years, but we were told, no, we're just going overboard. Stop it, please. By the way, that woman's name is Katie Cox, and she had to flee the state of Texas to get an abortion in order to save her life. That's what the Republican Party wants to do. There's a great show on PBS called World on Fire, which follows an ensemble cast as they try to survive in Europe during World War II. It's hard to watch at times, but it is really, really well done. This past season featured a young girl who was brainwashed by the German Nazi regime to serve as a host, basically just to have German babies in the name of Adolf Hitler. Her only purpose was to give birth for the government. The government owned her body. She had no freedom. How's that different than what extremists on the right wing are pushing for here in this country? Michiganders enshrined abortion care in the state constitution in 2022, which means even some Republicans voted in favor of the initiative. That also means some Republicans voted for it in Livingston County as well, despite the Republican Party's cruel and extreme stance on women's rights. Coming up to talk more about that is activist and now podcaster Casey Helton. If you recall, Casey was in the news a few years ago after the Livingston County Sheriff, Mike Murphy is his name, by the way, sent a referral to the county prosecutor to see whether or not Casey could be charged for cyber stalking. What was Casey's crime? For tweeting and speaking out against so many lies made at a public meeting by a nurse educator and accusing that nurse of spreading COVID misinformation. The nurse made up things, you know, like masks didn't work and the COVID vaccine didn't work either. And Casey called the nurse out on those lies. Now, Casey had the right to freedom of speech, or so you'd think, since she was responding to remarks that nurse made at a public meeting. Again, it was a public meeting. But the right-wing Sheriff Murphy, who also announced his refusal to enforce the recent gun safety laws passed by state Democrats this year, wanted Ms. Helton charged with cyberstalking. Yeah, he chose to make Casey's life a hell because she was telling the truth while breaking no laws. The prosecutor ended up choosing not to press charges, but Murphy did what he always wanted to do. He was doing what he wanted to achieve, harass Casey because she was not on his political side. That's where the Republican Party is today. Coming up, Casey Helton, right here on LOL.
It's the Left of Lansing podcast. If you truly want to get Pat fired up, talk about Tigers baseball or how you think the 90s produced the worst music of any decade. You've been warned. Email him at leftoflansing@gmail.com and follow him on Twitter at leftoflansing. Here's Pat.
Hey, before I forget, I just wanted to thank a couple of people for helping kickstart Left of Lansing's engine after taking a couple of years off. First, I'd like to say thank you to my good friend and neighbor, Rich, for helping get leftoflansing.com off the ground. Without Rich's guidance, there wouldn't be a place where I could store my weekly thoughts and pontifications, not to mention all of the episode archives, my Friday short archives, and much more. So, Rich, thank you again for everything. Special thanks to my good friend Kirsten for the Left of Lansing logo that she created. It looks awesome, although I fear that we may need to update it soon, Kirsten, because the guy's face in that logo might be just a touch older now than he was a few years ago. But thank you, Kirsten, for your help. A big thank you to my good friend Jessica for lending her voice on being the podcast voice. Jessica, I've asked you to be the voice for a reason, because I knew you could give this whole podcast, this whole project, some gravitas, something that my voice lacks. So thanks again for your help, Jess, and get ready, because you will be receiving more lines from me here for the next year. And thanks to my wife, Heather, for her expert technical assistance on this venture. She knows how to fix everything when my Adobe Audition decides to act like HAL from 2001 A Space Odyssey and tries to sabotage my work. She knows her way when it comes to computers, to microphones, wires, and more wires and such. So thank you, Heather, for all of your hard work and for making this idea become a reality. Okay, so one of the reasons that I started this podcast back in the day was to highlight the hard work that progressives throughout the state of Michigan were doing to help turn around the state, which had been dominated by right-wing policies and thoughts for way too long. I wanted to get state legislators, researchers, media members, but most of all, activists who've been fighting the good fight to bring back common sense, progressive values and policies to the state after years of right-wing Republican rule. And that's why I'm happy to have Livingston County progressive activist Casey Helton back here on Left of Lansing this week. Casey was on the podcast back in May, and we talked about her experiences and challenges of living in Livingston County as a progressive, and she's back here this week to give us some updates on what's been happening here in Livingston County since we last talked, and to talk about her new podcast, which she and a few others started just a few months ago, and she's serving as the final guest of 2023 right here on the Left of Lansing podcast. So Casey, thank you so very much for coming back on here this week.
Pat, it's great to be back on your show, and thank you so much for having me here today.
So just to give those who maybe didn't listen to our earlier discussion this year, can you first tell us exactly where Livingston County is in the state of Michigan and how you ended up living there?
Yeah, so Livingston County it's a popular place. It's a growing place to live because we are kind of smack dab in the middle of three major metropolitan areas, really four. So we're very much a commuter county. I myself commute to work. I work for Michigan Medicine. I commute to Ann Arbor, although I work as a hybrid work at home, work in office schedule. But, you know, I'm still in office half the month. But there's Ann Arbor, then there's Lansing, and Detroit, and then you can even kind of count Flint. Everything's within, like, you know, 45 to 50 minute drive anywhere that you would work out here. So any city you'd work in. So it's, we're a really popular commuter county out here. And I've lived out here for most of my life. My family moved out here in the 80s from the Detroit area. Like a lot of people who kind of lived in the Detroit suburbs back in the 80s, my family moved out here. They were looking for, we were in private schools in Detroit. I was raised in like a churched family, and we went to religious schools in Detroit. And my family wanted us to have access to good schools, good public schools, which weren't really available to us when we were living in Detroit. So they moved out here. The property tax rates kind of attracted them. A lot of the same things that still are true today for reasons why people move out to Livingston County. They want good schools. They want, you know, a nice community. And I think overall, like, Livingston County is a good community for that.
That was a good description there. What is it then that you love the most about residing in Livingston County? And why have you decided to stay and fight for what you believe is right in Livingston County rather than perhaps leaving to live next door in a bluer county like, I don't know, Washtenaw County, for example?
I've lived back here since about 2009. I moved, like, I kind of boomeranged. So I did, I lived out in Ann Arbor for about 10 years. Hmm. And then I ended up kind of moving back here because I was in school at the time at EMU, and the financial crisis hit in 2009 and I needed help. I wasn't able to like continue school. And so I actually moved here. I moved back home in 2009. And I actually ended up meeting my husband out here, which wasn't planned. It was funny. We lived like 7 minutes away from each other for like a few years. We never met, and we met online, and we got married in 2013, and he had his house already out here. He moved here from Wayne like years ago. We stay here. We have family here. We have good neighbors here. We have friends here. And, you know, this is our home and we're glad to be here, you know, but we don't always like my husband. I say we because my husband is, he's with me on this. You know, we're both Democrats in a very kind of red area that's increasingly kind of becoming more light pink. I guess you could say there's more people moving out here year to year who are looking for a place to raise their family, and they're from cities. You know, they have higher education, so they're able to afford houses out here. And they bring with them, I think, a more current mentality about the world that is a little more diverse, like a diverse view of the world. They bring that experience with them, just like I did. You know, when I moved out here, I wasn't born out here in Howell, but what I remember when I was a kid living out here is that a lot of people had been born out here and they have very kind of closed-minded attitudes. Like, we were outsiders. We moved from Detroit and we were outsiders. We weren't necessarily, we didn't always feel welcome here, but there are fewer and fewer people like that year to year. Everyone here is moving from somewhere else.
So the demographics then are changing a bit then in Livingston County. So maybe that leads to my next question, since it has been more reliably red, you know, through the decades, obviously, for a very long time. Is that causing this demographic changing that you said? Would you call it, you said light pink? Is that about what?
Light pinking, yeah. Light pink?
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, break it down. A lot of people are, we talked about this last time I was on the show, but a lot of people are always really shocked to learn that the city of Howell and the city of Brighton both went for Gretchen Whitmer and Alyssa Slotkin. And the county has now its first Democratic representative in the state legislature right now. So that's the first in many years, Jennifer Connolly.
Yep.
And, you know, she represents portions of that district was created as a result of the redistricting. And she represents basically the M36 corridor, parts of it, a big chunk of it, Pinckney, Hamburg, and then parts of Washtenaw County as well. That was huge news out here.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. No, absolutely. And do you think with this demographic change and with these victories that you were talking about, especially with Representative Connolly, is that causing, in your experience, is that causing more extremism from the county Republicans or those on the right? Have you been experiencing that?
I think it's change? Definitely they're not happy about it. But I will tell you, it's also greatly invigorated people who are more center of left out here who didn't think it was possible. I have a friend that is an aide for Jennifer Connelly. And like, he's great. He tells me all the time about people who he's a volunteer for the young Democrats out here in Livingston County. And he tells me all the time about the energy that's out here and the activism that the young Dems are doing out here in Livingston County. I feel like they have events like every week. They just did something at the Howell Theater not too long ago. Like they do movie nights and things like that, you know, and I want to say, there's another district, it's Ann Bolland's district, which is kind of neighboring, you know, to the east. Representative Ann Bolland, who's been in her, she's a Republican and she's been in that seat for a long time. I totally believe that seat is capturable. Mm. I really hope that the state party and the local party really come up with a plan this year to unseat Ann Bolland. Ann Bolland has voted against her constituents' interests on things like the abortion referendum that we passed, the constitutional amendment to guaranteeing women's access to abortion out here. Yep. She was opposed to that. But 53% of voters in her district voted for that. Same with her record on guns. People out here in Livingston County, they want sensible gun safety legislation. And she has voted against that on every measure. And then also she's like embraced, even though she was a Brighton Township clerk, she's really embraced election conspiracies. And I just think she represents the city of Brighton and also portions of Oakland County. And I really think the people there, if we could run a strong candidate against her, I think we could really give her a run for her money and bring two blue Democratic representatives to Livingston County. That would just make my day.
and I think many. Yeah. And I think that would make the day for many out there. And that's can I tell you something that I maybe didn't take into account is you brought up Proposition 3 there that enshrined abortion rights in our state constitution. You said 53% of her district voted for it, right? And even though she's always voting against any kind of reproductive rights.
Absolutely. Always. We know, this is an issue of great import to the women, also men who support women's rights here in the county. And I mean, look at what happened in Texas recently, where this woman is out there fighting for her reproductive rights. She's the one where the state Supreme Court intervened because she's having a very harmful pregnancy that could kill her. The pregnancy is non-viable, and then it could ruin her chances for having children in the future. And here you have this state that's intervening in her private medical business because Texas took away the rights for a woman to have access to her own healthcare decisions about her body. That is not going to happen in Michigan because of Prop 3. But no thanks to Ann Bolland. I mean, because of Gretchen Whitmer, because of the consensus of voters in this state, women in Michigan do not have to have those same worries that women in Texas do. And I think that is on the minds of women out here, not just women who are childbearing age, but also their daughters. I mean, I don't have any children, but I imagine if I did and I had a daughter, I'd be worried about what her future would bring if she couldn't make her own reproductive health care decisions.
And that's why I'm wondering, and I guess we're just going to have to see through time. In my opinion, I think because of these steps, these reproductive rights steps that we've taken here in the state of Michigan, that will, in the long run, not only keep, I think, women wanting to stay in Michigan, but I think that we will start seeing women from other states and families from other states come to Michigan because they know that women and women's economic and their health freedoms are respected here, that they are championed here in Michigan. I can see a lot of women, a lot of families from other states just saying, especially like states in Texas, saying, well, hell with this. Let's just go to Michigan. Let's go to some other places where we are actually treated like human beings, where we are treated with respect.
I think it's going to. And, I just looked this up on my phone. Just 54.92% of district voters in Ann Bolland's district voted yes on Prop 3. Wow. And she still voted against removing dangerous abortion restrictions in the legislature. So she is not really understanding her own constituents on this issue, a critical issue.
Now, I do want to mention that after our last talk, I received an email from Livingston County Democratic Party Chair Judy Daubenmeyer, and she wanted to remind me that state Democrats did get that big win in 2022 when Jennifer Connelly, as you said, won the newly drawn 48th district. And that was a big win. And I felt bad personally because when we talked last, Casey, I think I may have given the impression that the right wing has taken over Livingston County and it's the state Democratic Party's fault. And that's not what I was trying to say, because that was a huge win for both the Democratic Party and for parts of Livingston County, for sure. And I understand that there are those in the Democratic Party who have knocked on doors for Jennifer Conlin and for other Democratic members or other Democratic candidates, and they've knocked on doors for even commission seats and the like. I wasn't trying to underestimate the work that many in your county have been doing for such a long time. But I was trying to understand during our talk the last time if we meaning progressives and Democrats, were doing enough to stress the importance of local races, not just state house races, but also what's happening in our county and city commissions, because that's what we were talking a lot about during our last talk, was how the county commission there is completely taken over by the right wing. So do you think we as progressives are doing enough to stress the importance of local races? And in your estimation, are you seeing a shift in that kind of thinking and strategy when it comes to progressives? And, you know, let's throw in the Democratic Party as a whole.
Yes and no. I know that there's been a real effort on the part of the local Dems to seek out candidates for county commission and for statewide offices. In fact, I just spoke to someone who I'm not going to name because it hasn't been declared officially yet, but that person reached out to me. And after I had tweeted out about Bob Bazat, the state rep Bob Bazat, and his allegations against his wife of 50 years that she had physically, emotionally, and mentally abused her and is filing for divorce. I made a whole thread about that. And this person reached out to me and said, I'm going to be running against Bob Bazat, just haven't filed yet. So we know, thankfully, somebody is there to do that. And I mean, they've run candidates. They've had candidates run against Ann Bolin as well, who I mentioned earlier. So the problem is not finding candidates. Although we do need somebody to run against Sheriff Murphy.
Yes.
Still don't have that as far as I know. And I really hope they find somebody because, you know, I got beef with Sheriff Murphy for very good reasons.
Yes.
So hopefully they'll find someone to run against him. But I think we're going to end up with a full slate this year. And I think there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm. I will say that from this area, from people who are need to help get out the vote. And like, I think we talked about this last time, but I'm also a volunteer with a group called SAGE, which is a local kind of a nonprofit group out here. It stands for Stand Against Extremism Livingston County. And that is a group that is run by local parents and community members. And we call out a lot of the extremism that we see here. You know, one other thing, we hadn't really gotten into my podcast yet, but one of my podcast hosts is actually running for county commission. She's already filed. She's the first trans woman in Livingston County to file to run for office. And she is running for county commission against the current incumbent, Wes Nakagiri. And her name is Ellen Keaton. And I'm very excited for her campaign. I think she's going to do an amazing job. She's very issues focused, very much about public transit here in the county. She's talking about that all the time because it's a really underfunded resource here in the county. Meanwhile, Wes is very well known out here, and it was mentioned in his news article in the Livingston Daily that he has connections to the far right. He's made public comments wanting to embrace Ottawa impact style policies out here in Livingston County. And we all know what a disaster that is over there with Joe Moss.
Awful. Well, you know what? First of all, that is great news. Fantastic news. And that was going to lead me to talking about your podcast called The Stir. Did you start it because you wanted to try to find a way to help connect more like-minded people in Livingston County? When I say like-minded, I mean, you know, people with common sense, and maybe help others in rural red counties understand that, hey, there are many of us out here who have these kinds of values, and we are just trying to find ways to maybe connect. Maybe it's a way to connect everybody. And, you know, like my county here in Gratiot County, it's a red county, maybe to help make people feel like they're not really that alone, that there is a groundswell of support out there.
Absolutely. And I think you probably understand that better than most. Media is very important. Getting the word out is very important. And I was really tired of just constantly reading things that upset me and then just being on the defensive about them. You know, I wanted to take a more offensive stance in terms of not just talking about what we're against here, what progressives are against, but what are we for? You know, what does it actually mean to be progressive in a county like this? And for me, that means not just human rights, not just support of people of color, LGBTQ, but also like workers' rights. I'm really excited because in my workplace at Michigan Medicine, they're trying to unionize the remaining 20% of our workforce at Michigan Medicine. And I'm a part of that group of people who would have be unionized. I've never been a union employee before, and they're actually working on organizing over there. If anybody out here is listening and you work for Michigan Medicine, take a look at SEIU, Service Employees International Union, and go to their sign up page because we're very close to hitting the goal on that. And so like these kinds of things, I don't mean to get off topic, but yes. So I wanted to find a way to connect people to what it really means to be progressive and also to highlight some of these issues and to give them a little bit of a narrative focus. What's going on here? You know, where do we need to be focusing our attention? Where are Republicans weak? Where are we strong? To be honest, we've had a few robots. We've had a lot of sicknesses this month. So we've had a few shows postponed. And then I just learned this week that one of my co-hosts is actually, Jace, is going to be pursuing another job opportunity and has to leave the state for a little while for training. So the show is going to be changing a little bit over the next few months. We're kind of in a limbo phase, but it's definitely going to keep going. Our next episode is going to be this Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube, or you can get us on Monday on the StirPod at transistorfm.com. Let me see if I made sure that was right. Yep. So definitely check us out. The StirPod.transistor.fm.
Okay.
And that's going to be our last episode with Jace for a while.
I love it. So I think you guys do a fantastic job. And I saw that there was a good write-up about the Stir in Pride Source, which is an online Michigan publication focusing on LGBTQ plus issues. And in that write-up titled, "One of the Queerest Podcasts in Michigan is Recorded in One of Its Most Conservative Counties," you said, though, that you wanted to show how there is this presumption that trans folks, let's say, only care about or are qualified to discuss trans issues, and that you wanted your podcast to change that perception and to say, you know what? Trans people care about, yes, that about trans issues, but they care about working families. They care about healthcare. They care about so many things, just like we all do. And that's, is that kind of one of the things that you really wanted to do with this?
Yeah, that's absolutely. And like I mentioned, Ella, like she's very active in helping to bring about improved public transit out here in Livingston County, because not everybody has access to cars. You know, she wants to improve our infrastructure. She goes to meetings, she knows all the folks, and then she follows the county commission meetings. And this is an issue that our county commission has just been paying zero attention to because they're so hyper distracted with all these culture war issues that come up every single meeting. So here you have Ella very focused on yes, she is a trans woman, but she does not like driving. You know what I mean? She is a student and she takes public transit all the time. Well, she just graduated, but to work, she takes public transit. She wants to help improve her community. So absolutely, I did want to humanize the trans community out here. And we do have a very vibrant trans community out here in Livingston County. People have a lot of questions a lot of times if they don't know somebody who's trans. You know what I mean? I wanted to be able to use the podcast to just help show that like trans people are just like everybody else. You know what I mean? They have the same concerns as everybody else. That's just who they are. We're all just people. We're all just folks, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the second time you brought it up, so I'm going to bring it up if you don't mind. You mentioned public transit. What are you hearing from some people out there, or what is your co-host there hearing from others on the need for public transportation? I feel like that is such a key issue that we really have to be talking about here in the state of Michigan. And I'll say especially for folks in the Metro Detroit area, if we really want to turn things around, I think that we have to understand the need for public transportation, be it maybe a rail service like they've got, you know, in Chicago, or subway services that they've got in New York, and even Pittsburgh, I think, has an underground subway system. It just seems like that's something that we really need to be focusing on. out there in Livingston County, do you think with the demographic changes and with younger people wanting that, because that's what you just brought up, do you think we might see something change on that front maybe in the next decade or so?
I don't think necessarily with rail, but when you're talking about like with Ella's, big thing is busing.
Yeah.
You know, we have the Let's Bus out here. They get grant funding from the state, and then the county makes a small contribution as well. And this is a small bus system that you have to schedule. And it's used by a lot of workers out here, a lot of elderly who need to get to driver's appointments, but it really needs to be expanded. So, and the county is really underinvesting. There's money on the table from the state that they could get. This is something Ella was telling me all about the other day. There's money on the table from the state that the county could get if they just invested a little bit more county resources on their end of things, but they don't want to do that because they're just a bunch of like retired old white guys who don't understand the problems that, you know, working families have out here, that, and also individuals, you know, not everybody has a car. Not everybody can drive. Even for myself, my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law, my brother-in-law has Parkinson's. My mother-in-law is in her 70s. She doesn't have the driver's license. Everywhere they go, I have to drive them places. What about people who don't have family out here who are elderly to drive them to places? Besides the fact that a lot of people aren't aware of this, but we bus workers in from Flint to work at our manufacturing plants out here in the county are from the cities. They drive 50 miles by bus there and back every day to work in places like Thai Summit and some of our other industrial plants in around the area.
Casey, I sort of want to stay on this issue because it is related, I think, of public transit, not just being something that will help make things more affordable for people and for people who just don't want to have to buy a car or have to always rely on a car. But I also look at public transit as an environmental issue. So I would like to get your take on this topic, since it's something that I've wondered about, but it's something I don't think we're going to quite fully understand how it's going to play politically until it's been used. And I'm talking about the part of that clean energy and climate change bills that Gretchen Whitmer signed into law last week, which grants the state power to green light large-scale solar and wind projects, even if local municipalities fight against them. And this, of course, would give farmers the right to sign up and allow their land to be used for these clean energy projects. And there's nothing, thanks to these bills, there's nothing that a local municipality could do to stop it. However, local governments, I think, can still veto smaller projects, I guess. Anyway, I view this, though, as a win for farmers, for family farms, and for landowners who just want to join in getting Michigan into the future of energy generation. And this will help stop reactionary right-wing governments from stopping what should have been happening years and years ago. And you know what? Let's be honest. They've been successful in blocking many of these projects throughout the state. But I'm wondering, from your experience, how will this eventually play out in more rural areas? Will it just raise the ire of more Republican or Trump voters? Or do you see that ire losing steam through time once people realize that clean energy is something that should be celebrated and not something that should be feared, that, oh my God, there's a wind turbine, this must mean that the next coming of Stalin is on the horizon?
Well, I think it's definitely a win for farmers. I live in a very rural area myself. I'm what they call a dirt road Dem. You know, our neighbor has a beef farm. So, I mean, and then there's a huge cornfield right across the street from us. We live in the midst of a lot of farmers. And I know that there are farmers out here who want to take advantage of these opportunities for solar as a way to supplement their incomes through the use of their land. And that is their property. It is their property. And I always thought that Republicans were very much in favor of property rights.
Right.
But it doesn't really seem to be the case here, because I've been following this issue locally. And like every single time there's a solar issue that comes up out here, you'll get a Facebook group that'll pop up. And they're always the same characters over and over. They're right wing Trumpified people who come in and spew the same talking points over and over, the Republican talking points. And some of these groups have people in them who are activists for fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and they don't want solar. But the fact is, you know, Governor Whitmer and the state legislature have signed this historic clean energy and climate action package. This is going to be good for our environment. It's going to be good for local farmers. And it's not going to give these townships and these small groups of angry, aggrieved citizens the power to control Michigan's energy future, which is really important. I kind of saw this coming. When I saw these groups pop up all over, like, different rural townships, I was hoping that the state would intervene. Because, listen, not just for myself, but I have nephews that are little, 7 and 9. I want them to live in a Michigan that has a thriving economy, and I want them to stay in Michigan, and I want this to be a clean climate for them. Climate change is a thing. It's a truthful thing, and it's affecting us here. Every day, there's a new story out there about the effects of climate change, and we need to do whatever we can to turn the clock back on that, and clean energy is a huge part of that effort. And I'm really happy for what Governor Whitmer has done in the state legislature. And I think it's going to be, I think people are going to be surprised out here when the projects actually start rolling in, that a lot of what was told to them were just lies by fossil fuel interests.
I think that's a pretty good spot there for you to have the last word. Casey, thank you so very much. Once again, time flew by, as it always does whenever you're on here. So thank you for coming back here on Left of Lansing. I'd love to have you back on next year in what should be a tumultuous 2024 indeed. And I will make sure to add a link so that everyone can subscribe to your podcast called The Stir on YouTube as well. So, Casey, thanks so much for
being
on.
Maybe we can have you on The Stir, Pat.
Hey, I would love that. I would love that. I would love that. Hey, thanks for being on, and have a happy new year, my friend.
Thanks, you too. Happy holidays, Pat.
It's progressivism with passion. It's the Left of Lansing podcast, where Pat shines a light on Michigan's progressive movement. Contact Pat at leftoflansing@gmail.com.
Man, time always seems to fly whenever I've got Casey Helton here on the podcast. As you heard, she's a fighter for common sense values, which are progressive values. And she's one of thousands of dirt road Democrats, as she calls it, who are just trying to bring back some of those common sense values to the rural parts of not just Michigan, but across the United States. I'll provide a link to Casey's podcast, once again called The Stir, on leftoflansing.com. And you know what? Sometime in 2024, perhaps I, yours truly, might be a guest on The Stir. Stay tuned. Time now for the Left of Lansing last call. If you don't mind, I'd like to continue talking about that very last topic Casey and I were talking about, and it was the part of the clean energy and climate bills in which farmers will now have the freedom to choose if they want their land to be part of this clean energy future. Again, under these bills, which were signed by Governor Whitmer, right-wing local governments, may I say, won't be able to stop a farmer from doing what they want with their land. If farmers want to allow their land to be used for solar farms or wind turbines, they will now have the right to do so. Who's for freedom? Who's for America? As Casey said, it's astonishing that Republicans oppose this measure, since they're always supposedly about not just the family farm, but they're also about property rights. I mean, come on, guys. That's what I've heard throughout my entire lifetime. Not when it comes to clean energy, I guess, because they've been so brainwashed into thinking clean energy is a left-wing plot as we enjoy another Christmas season of above-average temperatures and rain and lots of mud. And their dear leader knows how much they've been brainwashed through the years, and that's why he's touting more oil drilling as his major energy plank.
And you know why I wanted to be a dictator? Because I want a wall, right? I want a wall, and I want to drill, drill, drill.
But back here on planet Earth, progressives are getting the job done to push Michigan towards the clean energy future that we need to achieve. And giving family farmers power to be part of this future will not only help them save their farms with new investments, but it will help save Michigan's economic and environmental futures. States across the country will see how Michigan is leading the way and will want to be part of this future. Even more, research shows that allowing farmers to participate in solar panel projects helps give the land that they own a rest and allows that land to get stronger in the future without insecticides, so they'll be able to use that land again in the future. And more research shows how wind turbines are drawing carbon dioxide out of the soil, which helps crops grow. In my county, Gratiot County, those of you who drive through it while on 127 see all of those wind turbine farms. That's not just helping those farmers. It's also helping my county. Thanks to an influx of tax money that is helping refurbish roads and other infrastructure projects. Since 2012, around $87 million in tax revenue has been generated for Gratiot County, and that's real money helping people. I'd like to play this clip from the signing ceremony of these bills with Gretchen Whitmer, and this is featuring Clara Ostrander. Clara is a Monroe County family farmer whose land has been in her family for some 150 years. Clara explains how these bills will help her family and all of Michigan. Listen.
Before my father passed away, he asked me to keep the farm in the family so it could be passed down to my son the same as he was passing it on to me. Little did I know at the time what a hard task it would be to maintain two farmsteads over 100 years old and keeping up with property taxes. Renting the farm to another farmer for raising corn and soybeans assists with paying the taxes, but it doesn't leave much more for helping with the maintenance on the rest of the farm. So when we were first approached about the idea of leasing our land for a large solar farm, we were very skeptical, as we didn't want to do anything to harm the farm. But after several months of research, we learned that solar would not harm our land, but rather it would allow the land to rest while helping the environment by harvesting the sun for clean energy. When we made the decision to lease our land for solar, our township had an ordinance in place which allowed solar on ag-zoned land. Unfortunately, over the course of the next 2 years, we were faced with opposition that ultimately ended in the ordinance changing and taking away our landowner rights. Fortunately, with the development and passing of Senate Bills 277 and 502, small farmers like myself will now have the option to keep their family heritage and not have to resort to selling their land.
You see, right-wing organizations like the Mackinac Center and their Republican benefactors want you to believe that they're all about property rights and small family farmers, but they're not. They only care about power, full power. And they're all right if it means Crystal Fast's right-wing authoritarian power, just as long as they are on the winning side. It's why they don't mind putting big government in control of women's bodies. It's why they don't mind propping up people to erase marginalized Americans from our libraries and history books. It's why they don't mind putting Republicans in power to shill for big oil and gas companies or for big pharma companies. It's why they will never back unions and the rights of average working Michiganders. It's why they don't mind putting a Republican Party back into power, even though the Republican Party tried to subvert and overturn our democratic institutions just 3 years ago. It's why they don't care about people. They only care about power. Well, power and profits. As Robert Reich tweeted this week, and I quote, "If this country was truly pro-life, we would have Medicare for all, a new Green Deal, gun reform, universal child care, and a living wage. The right-wing agenda isn't about life per se. It's about control." Hear, hear. Republicans say they're all about small government and working people. But come on, people. You know better.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan. It's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Left of Lansing. Thanks again to Casey Helton for being on this week. And thank you all for listening throughout the entire year. Remember, if you haven't yet, subscribe to The Left of Lansing podcast and give it a 5-star review. And don't forget to subscribe to leftoflansing.com. I'll be back here in my attic to kick off 2024 on January 4th. Until then, have a safe and great holiday season. Stay away from eggnog because eggnog is gross. And it's a known fact that Die Hard is indeed a great Christmas movie. Remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Edited by Pat Johnston. And hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.